Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Andy, thanks again for being with us on Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We really enjoy the feedback we get every week from our listeners. So remember our phone number, local area code 435, and then it's 477 on the left and 6999 on the right. We want to answer any questions you have about health care and how it changes as we age, or if you need help with the complexities of insurance or estate issues. So last week, Andy, we talked about that word palliative. You brought it up.
Yeah, big word, yeah.
It is. And, you know, we've touched on it in the past. We've talked about it a little and hoped we've introduced the ideas of palliative care to our listeners. But we haven't really defined as well as it should be defined. So we think it's such a powerful force in healthcare. And really, it benefits everybody if they understand what it could be and how to integrate it into their own care. So we want to talk about it in detail today.
Right. What palliative can mean. We at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care believe in the broadest possible definition that provides the greatest potential and the best care. But what about others? What might be a definition that someone might encounter when talking to a medical professional or service agency?
If we just use this statement, palliative care is anything that reduces or eliminates a symptom. An aspirin could be considered palliative care if it reduces a fever or a headache. If I was looking for palliative care, however, would that be enough care for me to consider it legitimate? No, I wouldn't. If a CNA showed up wearing a strong perfume and claimed that it was aromatherapy, I couldn't claim that that's palliative. Or
a doctor's office piping music in the waiting room, that's technically palliative, but maybe not the best form of palliative.
Right. These are poor substitutes for palliative techniques. It would be painful and miserable to stretch that claim into anything related to real palliative care.
Medicare has a limited, clinically only definition of palliative care. Palliative care refers to the care aimed at keeping you comfortable and free of pain. From that definition, a steady course of drugs would be considered palliative. But if that is all that is being offered is palliative as palliative care, then are we missing out on so much more? We believe you are.
Yeah, so let's consider what palliative care could be. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care believes that well-proven extra-clinical services that mend the mind, relax the body, reduce pain and anxiety, and eliminate stress are important amendments to great clinical care. We consider that palliative care is everything that is available to make us feel better. Reduce our symptoms, eliminate things that drag us down physically, emotionally, or spiritually.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. We have such a broad definition of palliative care, and it is so dynamic. Palliative care is any therapy that can improve your mood or your outlook or outcome. Palliative care has been proven to speed your recovery. It reduces the anxiety level. It's been shown to reduce the need for drugs, and studies have even determined that it adds life to our living. It adds time on this earth and makes that time more enjoyable, offering a higher quality of life over quantity of life.
Right. Today, your assignment is to make a list of things that you believe might help you feel better. Whether you're sick or now or not, just make a list. What would help you take your mind off pain, for instance? If all we're doing is sitting in a chair stressing about how much we hurt, then that's dragging us down. Would a great massage from a great massage therapist take your mind off the pain for a little while? Mm-hmm. Maybe relax our body and smooth out some of those tight, stress-filled muscles? Would having a conversation with somebody about places you've visited in your life and things you remember doing be better than just laying on a bed hoping for sleep to get away from the pain? That would be palliative.
And companionship really is an important part of our recovery, and if not recovery, at least satisfaction in living. We're very social beings. Really commit today to just writing a few things down that you know would be a joy, even in less than joyous circumstances. If you can come up with something that you think is a little unique, we'd love to know what works for you. We are always trying to broaden our options for our clients. I'll tell you what, If our listeners are willing to share what might work for them, we'll try to make one of those submissions come true. We may or may not share that experience on the air. It will all depend on the person that we are trying to help. If they want to keep it private, we will honor that respectfully. But do give some thought to it, because we are always trying to adapt to the best needs and desires of our patients.
So make some time today, write that list, so that if and when you need some extra help recovering or overcoming an illness that you can share, overcoming an illness, if you can share those thoughts to help you, that may help you. That may work very well and help you overcome that much faster.
Yeah. The operative difference between our definition of palliative care and many others is the difference between the words anything, any one thing, and our use of the word everything. We want to make available everything that might be useful and beneficial to others. While other hospice companies may want to claim the word palliative, they may offer one or maybe a few things that might relieve a symptom or two. We will open our minds and consider all things, because we do know that how dynamic it really is, how different people are. For instance, my mom loved having her hair done and her nails done, and that clearly wasn't something she could do for herself in her last days. So having somebody come in to do that for her, so that she always felt confident that her nails were just perfect and her hair was done, that was palliative for her. And it was, really did bring a better quality of life for her.
So palliative care is really going above and beyond. Why isn't that more available, Richard?
Okay, so I will say that there are five reasons. The first, it's not what doctors are trained to do. Two, it isn't that it's not that Medicare or insurance pays for it. So that's not part of it. And there are hundreds of palliative therapies and treatments that are available, and some of those may work. Mainly, though, it takes real work to integrate it into a meaningful plan of care. And the last one, and this is important, every person is unique and needs a plan adapted to their circumstances.
Right. We actually, at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, we actually have a team that comes out, and we don't ask the simple question, what can we do for you? Oh, well, my loved one is dying. Can you fix that? Nope. We actually ask poignant questions and try to get to know the patient. That's time consuming, and sometimes companies aren't willing to spend the extra money and the extra time on really getting to sincerely know and appreciate the needs of their patient. It's not what your doctor's trained to do. He went to school a long time to specialize in the kind of care that they can do from their office or in a surgery suite. They train to provide service that they can reproduce tens of thousands of times with the same or similar results. Great palliative care is the art of taking the time to find the right service or group of services that address things that are only partly related to an illness or a condition. They strictly focus on the quality of life.
And your doctor ain't got no time for that.
Oh, perfect. Bring YouTube into this. Sitting down and getting to know you, finding out what makes you happiest, finding out what makes you feel bad, and then finding a way to help you feel better by doing what makes you feel best. That is personal and dynamic.
And it isn't something that Medicare or insurance pays for. Even if your doctor was willing, had the time and knowledge and all the potential therapies, palliative care coordination is not something they can bill for. And when a doctor has 18 to 2,000 patients under his care, 1,800, he's got to bill for all of his work and time. If you normally see your doctor for 10 to 20 minutes every few months, can you imagine what it would cost you if your physician was going to dedicate hours every week talking to you and adjusting or replacing services or treatments for your personal care, let alone the time to find those services and coordinate them into your schedule?
There are hundreds of tested and proven therapy treatments and services, both clinical and non-clinical, that can reduce or eliminate symptoms. And while all are proven to work for some patients, we are all unique and will respond differently to different options. Pet therapy can be great for some people, while it could make someone else ill if they have an allergy. Or bringing a massive dog into someone's house could be terrifying. Another example, we've had great success integrating real quality massage therapy for many of our patients. But it's not for everyone. As we age, we get more sensitive and tender. So a great palliative program must adapt to an individual person's needs.
And that's where doing great palliative care is so hard, and why no one other than us wants to even approach it. It is not just scheduling a parade of people to go to somebody's house over the course of a year. It's spending that time to really understand what is going to be effective for that person and helping them develop a plan to fit around that. It really starts with wanting to find out what is best for the patient, even if it's more than inconvenient for us. So getting a starting point and then constantly adapting and trying to improve the care and outcome for our patients.
Constantly adapting is really important. People's needs change. Initially, they, you know, we'll go back to massage therapy. They may love the massages at first, and then over time, just really not appreciate them as much as they did in the beginning. When it comes to just pure clinical care, it can be pretty cookie cutter. When you see the doctor and spend a certain amount of time in the waiting room, then to be escorted in an exam room, spend a predefined amount of time in the doctor's presence, then move on to the exit desk to set another appointment or to get the prescription, that's pretty cookie cutter. And Medicare has a well-defined cookie cutter requirement, but we go far above and beyond that.
And if you're on home health, it's just a schedule of nurses to visit every X number of days, or a therapist on these days of the week, and maybe a nurse assistant to come one or two times a week, and then just wash, rinse, repeat. It's kind of the same thing. So the management of that is pretty easy. Add a patient and a time slot, get paid. Done well, why would anyone throw a monkey wrench in that trying to integrate palliative care?
Right. Proper palliative care is much more dynamic and adaptive. The problems change. Stress and anxiety and pain are constant, so their treatment needs to change. If we truly overcome a stress and it no longer exists, then continuing to do the same thing will not be productive. Just like our patient whose major stress was her concern for her husband's ability to cook for himself, we took that on, got him enjoying cooking, and she was able to enjoy his enjoyment. The stress was gone, so the need for drugs was not required. If we had just kept handing him new recipes every week, at some point we would have created new stresses for him. But instead, we actually came in and made it fun, and they spent a lot of quality time enjoying each other's company and creating beautiful memories together.
So great palliative care may not be a traditional therapy. It might be recognizing an unresolved need. For instance, when my mother-in-law was on hospice and staying with us in our house, my wife was the caregiver, and she was always busy. She was exhausted and was focused on her mother, and that's the way it should have been. But the truth is, our kids were really young, and we neglected them. There were weeks on end that they didn't get out of the house. While a lot of people offered to help, we couldn't think of anything they could do. But if one of those kind people had just thought, hey, I'll take that kid to the park or those kids to the park or include them in a play date and taking care of all that organization, that would have been great. And it would have been an extraordinary gift for us. Now, the truth is, we didn't think about that possibility until years later. But those are the kind of things that can be so effective in helping people resolve issues, overcome stress, and get out of the rut and the problem they're in so that they can move ahead and recover and have a better life.
If you want to regain your health after a medical condition, if you want to recover faster, better, and with less problems, then you should integrate a broad palliative program, a palliative program that is in line with our definition of palliative. Your doctor isn't going to do it for you. You need to be involved in your plan of care, and no one is more aware of what hurts and what is causing stresses to you then you. You need to be a part of the decision-making process. Your goals need to be considered. That is why we always encourage being your own best medical advocate. Let me stress that you need to be willing to express what you feel your desires are and what goals you have. And a broad palliative program will pull that out of you and make it easy for you to ask. It's really hard to ask for things. But if you have a palliative care team like ours that comes in and gets to know you, sometimes you don't even have to ask. We will just offer things or send people to help lighten your load and make your burden a little easier.
So we're going to recommend that you get a copy of your plan of care from each of your doctors, understand your plan of care, and then actually go out and discuss that plan of care with each of your doctors and make sure that you have got this plan of care working for your interest, not just theirs, not just a schedule of visits that they can charge for, but a schedule of events that are going to help you and figure out what that is and help you in what direction. Not everybody has the same goals when it comes to medical care. I know that's hard to believe, but when we're really in the thick of it on the recovery side, when we realize that recovery may not be an option, you know, at any level, I know that my vision is never going to get better. So I'm dealing with managing that vision going forward. And when we have more debilitating issues, it very well could be that a goal may be just being more comfortable with our condition, being able to not have to have it the main focus of our lives. There are a lot of other aspects to that.
I just kind of want to point out that a plan of care or a plan of treatment or a treatment plan, those are the terms that we can all realize mean the same thing. But it's actually a Medicare requirement, Medicaid requirement. It's a medical requirement. Doctors have to put together, and nurses, a plan of care. That's why you're asking for that. You want to know what it is that they are going to be doing for you.
So when we get involved through palliative care or hospice, we specialize in coordinating that plan of care, coordinating with your doctor and other healthcare providers, with you, the patient, and the caregiver and family, and to bring an additional layer of services that complement that clinical care.
So, Richard, tell them what a good plan of care would look like with palliative, one versus without palliative.
Well, without a palliative component, it'd be pretty formulary. A schedule of drugs, a schedule of tests, and maybe a schedule of actions. Drugs are the primary medical response for conditions that need to be treated. So you may have a prescription course that is given for it. And then tests or assessments to determine a few things. One, if the drugs are working or doing harm, and maybe also to determine whether you're improving or declining in your condition. And then there may be a possible recommendation to do something. It may be as simple as just drinking fluids and getting up and moving or doing cleaning a wound.
Right, a very clinical plan of care. If Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is involved with our broad palliative program, we can add that the palliative care on top of the list of clinical benefits that are standard, required, and a part of our process as well. We do still, I just want to assure everybody, we do still follow Medicare's standards. We just go above that and beyond. This is a good place to say we are family owned and operated. We are fully accredited by CMS Medicare, Medicaid, and we've gone above and beyond. And we were actually accredited by Accreditation Commission for Healthcare. And we chose to do that to bring people a level of confidence that goes above the Medicare minimum standard. And not all of the hospice and healthcare companies in this town can say that.
So then if we take that basic ABC level of care, and then we add palliative to that, not only are the prescriptions available, but we try and bring relief in your daily routine.
Right,
not only will you have highly trained medical professionals and support staff that come to your home to help you in your need. But we also like to explore some ways to lighten your load.
Right, reducing stresses, and we can better assess other issues. For instance, while drugs may be appropriate to deal with pain or anxiety, have you considered some alternatives? Would you like to try something other than taking a heavy narcotic or a mind-numbing prescription? If it doesn't work, we can always go back to the drugs. We're just suggesting that if we have an open mind, we may be able to better suit your desires and meet your goals in your home.
Right. And again, let's stress that it is your choice. It's not that we have a set plan and somebody else might have a different plan. Some people just have a standard plan of, you know, these are the three things that we offer. But for us, we just want to allow you the flexibility and opportunity to try anything that you think will be most effective for you. That's why we're asking you to make that list of things that may be useful and help and have that help you come up with better solutions to improve your recovery.
We are in a world where people have more opportunity to investigate and look at the research on the internet, and you might be surprised to find how many options and things are available that you'd want to try. We'd like to support that desire and help you find those methods that are going to bring you comfort in your time of need. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments, please feel free to give us a call. There's no obligation. We just want to be here to help all our seniors and elderly come up with answers to their questions and concerns. Call Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care at 435-477-6999. 435-477-6999.
And just like palliative care adapts to circumstances and changes, we want this radio program to be effective and adapt to the needs of our community. So we'd like your input on concerns that you have, issues that you think need to be addressed, questions that you believe need to be answered.
That's a great idea. So if our listeners out there have something that they say, you know what, you haven't addressed yet, and I think a lot of people have questions too, give us a call. Let us know what we're how we can help. If we don't already have the answers, we'll research it and put it on the air, and then you'll hear your questions answered on the air.
And we take constructive criticism really well. If somebody tells me I talk too fast, I'm okay with that. If we don't give our telephone number out often enough, I understand. So those kind of things, or anything that you see that needs to be addressed, we want to be able to address that in this radio program.
We have been told that. We've been told that we, some people say we give our number too much, and others have said we haven't given it enough. So Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, one last time, 435-477-6999. We'll answer all of your questions and help you with all of your senior and elder care needs.
And in these last couple of minutes that we have, I'd like to offer to the community an understanding of one of the things we're trying to accomplish. Right now, under the current medical conditions or fear that we're experiencing in COVID and all of the need for medical supplies that are here locally and the limits that are placed on that, that has had a massive impact on lesser able countries, those third world countries that depend on medical supplies from the U.S. being donated. And all those medical supplies are being held here now and being used. So we are going to be putting together a program trying to deliver medical supplies to third world countries, things that they need. Syringes and wound care and those types of supplies, everyday needs that small hospitals have in those countries that they just don't have access to. So we're going to be putting together some things to send there. And if you want to help, we would love your help. Give us a call, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999.
Right. Donations are always appreciated, and we will ship those off with our donations.
And 100% of your donation will go to supplies, to that care. We're not going to be keeping any of that.
Right.